Call to the booth. We got our Super Bowl edition, man. We're going to bring in a Hall of Famer, my dog, Rod Woodson. We're going to run some prop bets, man. And, of course, we got to talk JG, man, getting up out of there in L.A., man. Call to the booth. Let's get it. Drop that beat, Paul. Call to the booth. It's our Super Bowl show. But before we get to the best chip in the world, the best Super Bowl on paper ever, before we get to that, man, we got some quarterback shit going on, Harrison, man. Hey, and Deshaun Watson ain't playing no games.
Deshaun Watson is not playing any games. Yes, as you alluded to in our open, we have Rod Woodson coming up, prop bets and all that going on. But Deshaun Watson has made it be known through intermediaries, there's been some reports on Tuesday, that he is willing to sit out the entire 2021 NFL season if he's still a member of the Houston Texans. A lot's been going on, Akib, and you and I talked about this before. What's your initial reaction?
Man, I think he think the owner racist. So he just like, nah, I don't care who you bring in. He's not playing for him. You know what I'm saying? He's just not rocking with him. And I think he think he racist. So he don't want to play over there. You know what I'm saying? And man, it might be a bad thing for Houston. It might not be a bad thing for him. You know what I'm saying? They trade him. They get a bunch of pieces for him. With an early draft pick, and they can get their hands on what's my guy from BYU?
Ooh, let's see.
What's my guy name?
BYU.
He the
quarterback.
Truth. He the truth now. What's his
Zach
name,
Wilson.
Paul?
Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson. Now, if they can get their hands on Zach Wilson, you know what I'm saying? It's he got that same Deshaun Watson aspect to him. He could move around. He could run. He a highlight reel, you know what I'm saying? So if you can get a dog receiver and you can get a nice little package on top of that, you can get an early draft pick and you get your hands on a guy like him, it might not be bad for Houston. It might work out for both teams, man. So it's over, basically. If he said, Deshaun say he said not the whole year, he ain't playing no game. So that relationship is pretty much over, man. So now it's all about them getting the most they can get for Deshaun.
Much has been made about the head coaching openings throughout the NFL, and Eric Bieniemy did not land that Houston Texans job, which is something that you said should happen if they wanted a better chance to not just perform well, but keep Deshaun Watson. So they hired David Culley. I imagine if I'm Deshaun Watson, that hiring, even though Culley is a Black individual, a Black head coach, it wasn't inspiring, one, because of his age, and two, because he came from the Baltimore Ravens as assistant head coach and passing game coordinator. And while, you know, you and I have great admiration for what the Ravens have done and Lamar Jackson, I don't think the passing game from the Baltimore right. Ravens is inspiring a guy like Deshaun Watson. Am I reading that right?
You're reading that exactly right. It's nothing sexy or enticing about that. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that hire not going to make Deshaun stay. I mean, the best thing about it is, like you say, African-American. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know maybe they like leadership. Maybe he came in, was talking just like Harbaugh. He had the same speech as Harbaugh. Maybe the owners like that, and that's why they hired him. But definitely not going to make Deshaun stay, man. That's he trying to take his game to the next level, right? And he trying to find a partner. He's trying to get married with an offensive coordinator who's going to help him do that. So I don't know if Culley going to help him do that, man.
Yeah, and so who knows how another quarterback switching or another quarterback in a new location could help their team as well. As you know, and your connections to the Rams, we're going to lean on that for a little bit here. Matthew Stafford is now assuming going to be the starting quarterback for the LA Rams. Jared Goff is out of town. The full details, Matthew Stafford to the Rams. The Lions got Jared Goff, a 2021 third round pick, a 2022 first round pick, a 2023 first round pick, which pretty much is going to seem like the kind of offer that the Texans are going to require if they are going to move to Deshaun Watson, you know?
They dropped the house.
If not more. Yeah, if not more.
Right.
Have you talked to anybody in the Rams organization, any former friends on the team still or anybody connected to them? Can you give us a sense of where everybody is at with the move?
I mean, I haven't talked to anybody over there. I usually would too. I don't know. I've been cooped up in this house, but I haven't talked to nobody. But me, from just the outside looking in, man, I was in the building for a little while. I just don't think they thought Jared Goff was going to improve any much more. You know what I'm saying? Like, he been kind of at that same level. Not saying it's a bad level. You know what I'm saying? It was decent, but he kind of been at that same level for the last 3 years now. You know what I'm saying? The turnovers really didn't improve. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the things on Jay-Z, turn that ball over, fumbles and stuff. So that didn't really change or nothing. So I just feel like they didn't think Jay-Z was going to improve much more. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted somebody who can get him over that hump, man. Jay-Z not like a super vocal guy. He's not like super leader of the building, you know what I'm saying? And that's your personality. That's not going to change, because that's really just not the guy he is, you know what I'm saying? So maybe they wanted a more veteran, a more vocal, a more, you know what I'm saying, hands-on type of leader. And that's why they made the move. But I don't know. I ain't taking no temperatures, man. I ain't asked nobody. I ain't hit my dogs up and see what they think about it. But I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be too mad, because, shit, they be mad at JG, too. They know they need JG to get them over that hump, man. So if they believe in Matt Stafford to get them over that hump, then they probably like the move. I mean, like I said, it's a business, man. And nobody worried about no friend. You ain't worried about your friend leaving the team in the NFL. That's just not what we're there for.
I want to talk about what Matthew Stafford can bring to the LA Rams. But we have had Jared Goff on the show. It's actually our first show for week one. When you do see him, or when you do get in contact with him, because you're a guy who switched teams too, what are you going to say to him when you have the opportunity? Yeah, to Jared, when the next time you get a chance to really chop it up with him?
I probably just, you know what I'm saying, tell him, man, control what you can control. You know what I'm saying? Never, I'm going to tell him what my mama always tell me. You never put a question mark where God put a period. So you in Detroit now. Who knows how that thing gonna go, man? They might end up drafting Devontae Smith or something, you know what I'm saying, and start going crazy. He might have the best weapons he ever had in his life, you know what I'm saying, with those draft picks. So who knows, man? You never know. You never know. So just be where your feet at and play ball, man. And you never know. You might have an outstanding year, and who knows? Anything could happen, man. So just be where your feet at. Be where your feet at. It's the league. We done seen Detroit at the top of the league before. So bring them back up there.
Embrace your positioning. Embrace your he still has an opportunity to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly. And you still make $28 million, $30 million a year. So you ain't too mad. As long as that check don't change, you ain't too mad.
Yeah. The check always going cash. All right. Matthew Stafford. You've seen him before in the league. You obviously know his game well. What does Matt Stafford offer to the LA Rams that Jared Goff wasn't giving them?
I don't know. I don't really know what is he going to protect the football? I mean, I'm not no stat guru on how many times he fumbled and picks. I don't know. But if I was to do a prop bet off the top of my head right now, I would say he's not too far behind Jared Goff. When it comes to turning that football over, man. So, I don't know. I think he's going to provide the most, the biggest thing he can provide. I don't think it's on the field, or I don't think it's the play. I think it's just the leadership, man, as far as being a vocal leader, holding himself accountable, leading by example, you know what I'm saying? And just being a positive person always, almost like a coach, man. He kind of, his vibe is going to almost be like Sean McVay, like always up. You know what I'm saying? And just a great leader, man. So maybe that's what they're missing. Maybe they got that on defense. Maybe they need a guy who liked that on offense. And it's really not a super vocal leader on the field for the Rams. I mean, when JG then was out there, I mean, Big Wit is a leader, but I mean, he's a left tackle. He's just not – they have the wide outs. They don't got it. It's the running backs. It's not one guy who's like a Tom Brady or like a Patrick Mahomes or like a – or like a Lamar or like a Deshaun. It's not just a super leader on that offense, man. So maybe that's what he felt like they was missing. And I feel like that's what Matt Stafford could bring to that table.
A bunch of things can happen in the offseason. But right now, and before we go to break, right now, real quickly, team most likely to win the NFC West next year?
The West next year? I'm gonna go with the Cardinals. I'm gonna go Kyler. Kyler, he got super close again this year, man. That injury, that if he wouldn't have had that ankle injury, they was finna slide in fifth seed or something. He was gonna be in the playoffs, man. So I think that injury kind of fucked him on that back end, man. So I like them. They got a nice draft pick, 15, 16, or something like that. I seen Bucky Brooks' little mock draft. He had Devontae Parker dropping all the way to them. I don't know what the hell Bucky thinking, but if that was to happen, if Devontae, he the best, damn near the best player in the draft, in my opinion. Him and Ja'Marr Chase, they like this as far as non-quarterbacks. But if he was to drop all the way to 15, 16 and go to the Cardinals, oh, my God, I love that situation. I absolutely love that situation. So I'm going to go with the Cardinals, man. I think they do. They do. My dog, Pat P, he do to get in the playoffs, man. I think next year be their year where they win the division and slide in second or third seed or something like that.
It sounds like you've been doing your NFL draft research, huh?
I watch TV, you know, bottom line, you know what I'm saying? I'm just regular TV watching and shit, nothing major.
I hear that. Okay, so before we go to break, Matthew Stafford, 10 interceptions, 2 fumbles. Jared Goff, 13 interceptions, 5 fumbles. So Stafford with slightly better numbers and more than
likely. How many games Stafford missed?
Ooh. He has been an Ironman. He has played through a lot of injuries.
He played 16 this year.
Oh, he played 16?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's solid. That's solid. That's solid. 2 fumbles, 10 picks. That's solid.
Yeah, for sure. When we come back, Hall of Famer Rod Woodson, the all-time leader in pick sixes. We talked about that and more. Prop Bet, Super Bowl preview. You know what time it is. Call to the booth. We'll be right back. Support for Call to the Booth is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. And big news from Manscaped, they just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over at all times.
Now, who knew smelling good could actually feel this good, man? And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. So don't get lost in the shuffle. Join the movement, Manscaped.
And that 2 million people that approve it, the men, I'm sure the women approve it as well, too. It comes into a nice, great package. We've talked about on Manscaped before on the show with the Perfect Package 3.0. It comes with the trimmer, comes with the ball wipes. I mean, it has literally everything you need. And then you just throw on some cologne and you really have everything that you need in order to, how would you say this, Akeem? Be in playoff mode?
Just to be ready for the game. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's going to happen in the game, but you want to be ready for that game, right? You know what I'm saying? You don't want the female to not feel your vibe because of your smell. You know what I'm saying? So we could check that box with Manscaped. And I'm not really a cologne type of wearer, right? So I got my pack from Manscaped. You know what I'm saying? I bust it open. I laugh at the ball wipes. All right. Listen, you know what I'm saying? I spray the cologne just to check it out. I'm like, oh, it smells cool. About like 45 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Wifey came in and, you know, I'm like, what's up, baby? She's like, what's that? Where you been? And I'm like, what, baby, what? And she like, man, the cologne, I said, what you got on cologne? I said, smell good. She said, yeah, smell good. So look, she think I was going, about to go do something or coming from somewhere. That's the vibe the smell gave her, you know what I'm saying? So y'all better get on board with it, man. It's the truth.
These personal stories are the best. You know what to do. Go to get your 20% off with free shipping with the code NOFLYZONE at manscaped.com. One more time again. That's 20% off with free shipping with the code NOFLYZONE at manscaped.com. Look good, smell good, feel good with Manscaped.
Call to the booth. It's our Super Bowl show. Tip week, baby. So you know we had to bring in the big dog, man. We brought in the Super Bowl champion himself. 11-time Pro Bowler, 8-time All-Pro. And most importantly, the NFL Pick 6 leader, man. I was coming for his ass, man. Rob, what's up,
hey,
baby?
I thought you had me, brother. Hey, first of all, I'm happy to be on your podcast, man. But I said, if anybody going to get me, yeah, it's going to be Tlaib or Wood. And I'm like, I kept track. I was hoping that somebody got me. Tell you what, I was always impressed with your game. Because one thing I loved about you, man, you weren't scared. Most of these guys are scared. Are scared to put their foot in the ground and go get that rock.
And
you were not afraid to go get that rock. So, man, I got much love for you.
Hey, I appreciate it, Rod. I appreciate it. And you know what else? I want to thank you because I feel like I got, from the time you came to our training camp that one time, you remember that?
Yep.
I was lead at that point, but I think that was our first year there, right? That was a Super Bowl year, right? That was the year before the Super Bowl, right?
It was the year before, yes.
All right, so that was my first year in Denver, right? So this before a lot of those pick sixes came, because about five or six of them came in Denver. You came to our training camp, you know what I'm saying? You were there for a while, for about a month or something with us, right? And you told me, you said every day, you know what I'm saying? Once you get to this point in your career, it come down to every day, you got to get better at something. You know what I'm saying? And I took that advice. So I started doing that. I started having something as a team, a collective, no fly. All right, y'all, today, let's do this, man. Today, we got to do this. And we started working on one thing at a time a day. And I got that shit from you, Rod. So I appreciate it, man. Something I definitely put in my game.
My pleasure, brother. I mean, it was talked to me from freaking Tony Dungy back in the day when I first came in the league. And Tony was kind of my mentor. Cause you know, I didn't play corner when I was in college. I played safety. So,
right.
You know, Tony had to teach me how to play corner. So Tony gave me a lot of love, man. He gave me a lot of things that I took with me throughout my whole career, man.
That's what's up.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show today, Rod. Ironically, we're thinking about obviously the Super Bowl, and the last when you won the Super Bowl, it was in Tampa. And Akeem, if you could follow up this question, now that you've removed from the NFL from playing, what goes through your mind during a week like this, or when you're watching the game? This is going to be Akeem's first week as a non-NFL player watching the Super Bowl again. Can you take him through the emotions that you go through? Because I imagine you might get hype, you might get a little nostalgic. Take us through the emotions, please.
Yeah, I get mad at players. You know, I like man, you can't be kidding me. You play like that. I mean, you know, especially with the DBs. The DBs, like, they've been driving me crazy the last couple of years, like this, playing with their back to the ball, not seeing the ball being thrown, can't play with a deep ball, can't catch an interception that comes their way. I mean, so I you know, my wife is used to it because we've been together for 31 years. But, you know, I'm talking to the TV, you know, rewinding, like, pausing it. You know, when my kids were playing ball, I would pause them and say, see where they at? They shouldn't be there. They should be over there.
Right.
And if they over there, they're going to get the pick. So, I mean, it was fun, but it's frustrating. You know, my first year, I mean, the one thing I really miss, I miss playing, but I miss the guys in the locker room, that camaraderie that we built up. That's the one thing I miss. But watching the game itself, I get frustrated when I see bad play. That's the one thing I get frustrated with.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. I always call my son, Jabril, come here. Show him a play. Look at this. Look. You see how he hit him with this? I always teach off the TV right now. But this week leading up to the chip, man, Harrison, I just find myself just trying to study it, man. I'm trying to figure out who's going to win, you know what I'm saying, so I could fan duel and shit, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to – I like to have a reason to really care about the game, you know what I'm saying? Now that I don't play, I don't have a team. I got to put some paper down or something, man. I got to do something to have me want to enjoy the game. I got to be rooting for somebody or something. You know what I'm saying? So that's all I'm doing. I'm just studying it, man, watching the first game. I'm trying to see how they matched up. After that first quarter, I'm trying to see how the Bucks, how they shook back from that first quarter and lightweight contained the Chiefs a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So that's my week leading up to the game, Harrison.
Rod, if you can just, there's been commentary recently about Patrick Mahomes. People are saying if he wants to catch Tom Brady, he has to win this game. If he wants to take the GOAT title maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now, he has to beat Brady in this game. How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, listen, he's played tremendous football, man, his first couple of years. The dude he's a generational player. You know, does he have to win this game? To get to 10 Super Bowls, maybe, yeah. I mean,
seven wins, not 10 appearances, but I mean, seven 10 wins, appearances, six, yeah, wins, 10, six wins,
10 appearances, six wins. 10 appearances. So, I mean, he's already been to one, right? Got the victory. This is his second. He's young. Can he get to 10? Can he win six? They got to keep the team together to win six, you know? So, I think, you know, I think it's a good possibility he has to win this one, to especially if he wants to get to 10.
Right.
Now, to win six, maybe not, but because he maybe got some, you know, he got a solid team around him. He can probably get some more back-to-backs after this. But if he wanted to get to 10, he got to get this one.
Well, I think some of the commentary, and Nikhib, if you can follow up, I think some of the commentary really specified the fact that he has to beat Brady, because he's already lost to Brady in the playoffs before. And this could be the last time he plays against Brady. So it's one of those, you got to do it now if you want to pass him. Whereas even if Brady loses this game, he's obviously, his accolades are so long that he could almost afford it and still keep his GOAT title. But it's something
you
that
mean,
Mahomes.
You mean if he wants to be the GOAT?
Correct.
Oh, shoot, man. I mean, I don't know if he has to get to more than 10. I mean,
he got to play in more than 10, or he got to. So what if he play in six and he wins six and he beat Tom Brady in one of them?
That's the MJ right there, 6-for-6.
But see, I just don't know if he's going to. Now listen, we can always get to the water cooler, like which quarterback is always the better, which Hall of Famer is the better Hall of Famers. You know, you can always get to that.
Right.
But you know, Tom did something that's different. So you know, we always talk about, and I think you know, Amendola said it best the other day. He said the Patriot way was really the Tom Brady way. So the way Tom came into it, and you know, he was kind of shunned, sixth round pick, didn't look like he was, I mean, he was a decent quarterback in Michigan, but we didn't think he was going to be this type of quarterback when he came in the National Football League. He made it his way. Like, he had that chip on his shoulder his whole career. And then he and everybody had this argument why he was in New England. Okay, is it Bill Belichick? Is it Tom Brady? Well, I think it was mostly Tom Brady, but Bill Belichick did have his sway in it, because Tom has shown going down to Tampa with all that talent, they just needed a quarterback. And then Bruce Arians being there. And then he brought – if they didn't have Tom Brady, they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl this year. Mm-mm. They just wouldn't be. So, to me, you know, it's hard to always give GOAT titles. You know, probably the only position I can give a GOAT title to is receiver, Jerry Rice. I mean, he's the best of the best of the best of the best. And Tom Brady's probably the second, because I don't think there's going to be another quarterback to go to win six, go to 10. Now, if Mahomes beats him here and goes to and wins seven, then I'm going to say, okay, he to go.
I think, man, I think he got a chance. I think it's more about the wins than the appearances. And if he do beat Tom in this one, they going to guarantee keep the team together. You just got to do it. You got to figure out a way. And I think how the salary cap is changing now in football, it's going to be easier to keep teams together. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like if Mahomes had two wins before he's 25, oh, he on a great pace to catch Tom. Because, I mean, you can look at Tom. Tom took a 10-year break in between his chips. He won three. He took a 10-year break or something like that. And then he backdoored with three more, trying to get four more this weekend. So it's just that pace, man. You got to keep pace. You know what I'm saying? So if you got two chips, one beating the GOAT before you 25 or while you 25 years old, oh, man, I think you on the best pace out of any quarterback we ever had.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at Mahomes, man. He's so much more talented than Tom Brady, right?
Right.
Because you could look at him, like, when you're watching him play, I'm watching him play as a defensive back.
Right.
This dude backpedals 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage and still throws it 65 yards down the field. That's crazy.
See, he got two things, Rod. I say – he do two things that I ain't never seen a quarterback do playing football, period. You know what I'm saying? The first one is what you said. He got that back pedal, and he still throw money balls off his back pedal, right? So if you try to play man and blitz him, he just going to back pedal away from the blitz and, boom, throw a money ball. So then the next thing he got is he make us cover that 55 to 70-yard mark. Like, we don't cover that, right? You know that. I'm used to my fans dropping at 45 yards, maybe 35 yards in some quarterbacks, right? And I could taper down. I don't got to run no 50-yard sprint. I can run about a 25-yard sprint and jump, and that's the ball. But if Patrick Mahomes create that extra second and Tyreek Hill is running somewhere, you got to guard that extra 15 yards behind you. So that's crucial to me, man. It's if you could do those two things, that's like DB nightmares, bro, because – shit, now we barely could blitz you because all you got to do is backpedal and you still throw money balls. And now I got to guard a whole nother piece of the field that I never had to guard before. So I think as long as he got Tyreek Hill, man, he is dangerous.
Well, I mean, you got Tyreek Hill, who is like
the fastest in the league.
Fast. I mean,
I lined up in front of that man. I lined up in front of all these boys, Rod. He is the fastest in the league.
I mean, this crazy, you know, when I was coaching with the Raiders and we had him in front, I said, hey, man, I'm going to tell you, you can keep this dude in front of you. If you play off, you need to turn early. Let him catch it in front of you to go tackling, but don't let him get behind you, because if he get behind you, it's written, it's peace. And he'd be giving that peace out to you. And then secondly, hey, the only way he could run that 4-1, if you let him run 4-1. Get your hands on that dude.
Right.
Touch him. Make him uncomfortable. But then when you do, now they got number 17.
Yeah, Miko. Right?
He can run.
Miko fast too.
But he can run. And then you got the best tight end in the National Football League in Kelsey. And we don't even talk about 14 Watson. We don't even talk about him anymore. You know, but they got so many weapons across the board, and they got that young running back. Man, I just don't know how they lose a game. I mean, they won 15-1 this year, and that one loss to the Raiders was kind of a blip in the radar, but I just don't know how they lose because they just score at a high rate.
Right.
Speaking of Sammy Watkins, as Rod, you referred to, I think he is optimistic about playing in the Super Bowl, but he has not yet confirmed the team has not confirmed that he'll be playing as of Tuesday. You guys spent a bunch of time talking about the Chiefs offense, so we might as well talk about the Tampa Bay offense as well. If you are on the other side of the ball, you're Steve Spagnuolo. You see Tom Brady, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, potentially Antonio Brown. We'll start with Rod. Give me your defensive game plan to stop Tampa Bay and Tom Brady.
You know, Spags has really surprised me this year, especially in the postseason, of getting a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks, everybody they played, especially Josh Allen, because remember – they did it the previous year. They got to him multiple times, and they won the game. Well, I didn't think they were going to do it this year, you know, having Stephon Diggs coming over there. I didn't think they had that matchup. I didn't think it was a favorable matchup. But then when he did it, when Spags did it, and he kept blitzing him and getting after him and getting to him, and Josh is way more mobile than Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady does have some weapons. Having Evans and Godwin and AB, if AB plays, you know, you got big Gronk, you got two running backs. They got some weapons. But if I was Spags, I'll stick to my script. I'm getting pressure. You got a good front four or front three. You guys can run and play and cover. So I would stick to my script. I would pressure from inside. I would try to get that pressure on the times that you don't think that they're going to pressure you, not on the second and mediums, but those first and longs and whatnot. That's when Spags was blitzing in the previous weeks. So I would think that he's going to do something of that nature because he believes that his DBs and linebackers can cover one-on-one long enough to get to Tom Brady, because Tom Brady's not that mobile. We all know that. So I think that's going to be their game plan.
And Tom Brady's been very vocal about his disappointment about losing the Super Bowls to the Giants, which Steve Spagnuolo was a defensive coordinator for. Mm-hmm. So there's some level of familiarity there as well.
I agree with Rod, man. You got to – if you want to beat Tom, you can't play zone. You sit back and play zone, he's going to dice your ass up, man. That's one of the things him and Mahomes got in common. You can't play zone against them because they're just too smart, right? So you got to blitz them. You got to put some pressure on them, and you got to play man. Now, they got a bunch of weapons over there, but they got them 6'3", 6'4", them bigger body weapons. So I think that's why the Chiefs were successful the first game, man. They matched up decent with them guys. They got an early lead. They was able to play some coverage. But they match up decent, man. They got them big corners, big Ward. That's a big corner. Breland, that's a big corner. They match up with Godwin and Evans good. And the linebackers, they match up with the backs good. I mean, they third down back is like Fournette. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's not a burner. He's not super quick. He's a bigger guy. So I think with the Bucs having them bigger skill positions, the Chiefs match up well against it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. That's why I keep on leaning towards these Chiefs, Rod. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, but you got to remember Robinson, he's on a COVID list. So, you know, Watkins, he might not play. So Robinson's on the COVID list along, you know, Fisher's already out. And then you got Gilgore, who's a backup center. He's on a COVID list. So a lot of, I mean, that's like what I'm thinking about. Cause I'm thinking about putting a couple dollars down on the game. But I'm like, man, I want to go with the Chiefs cause the Chiefs just, because of Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and 17 and 87, them boys are for real.
And
I just don't know. And I love Andy. You know, I think Spags understand who Tom Brady is, but you know, and they do match up well. And that's a good point that you know those the receiving core for the Bucks are bigger guys. So you know, bigger guys. I've never worried about a big receiver.
Me neither. Never. I love like,
you're not
big going, guy.
You're not leaving me. Like, no. I'm going to sit on all your routes.
And you're not and jumping over you me you want to go deep.
Right.
And you're not so going to jump over you. Me.
So that's a real good point because they are bigger DBs who match up extremely well with them. So my question would be if AB plays, that could be the turning point because he is quick. I mean, those little small receivers like the Tyreek Hills and AB, they create separation off their own breaks.
Yeah.
And if he plays, he'll add a dimension to that offense, which they didn't have in a championship game, but they can have in that Super Bowl.
Definitely, definitely. That's I'll say the same thing. I'll say AB is he my X factor, man. If the Bucs come out here, if the Chiefs come out and play a bunch of man coverage, it's gonna have to be AB who win this matchup or Gronk. You put it well. Nah, I'll take that back because Gronk gonna have Tyron on him. They playing man. Right. Tyron gonna have a lot of Gronk. He gonna be playing a lot of Gronk, and you know he guard the slot too though. So he'll see some AB as well. He'll be out there on AB if AB inside too. So it's one of the best matchups, man, as far as on paper that I've seen in a long time. So I because it was a Super Bowl that I could actually go to and sit down and watch it. This would be the one I would actually went to and sat down and watched, man. It's going to be a good-ass game.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm, like, figuring out, like, who do I can argue the Chiefs can win. I can give you an argument. And then I can give you an argument for why the Bucks going to win.
Exactly.
And that's what's messing with me right now. Like, I'm maybe overthinking it, but I'm like, okay, I got an argument for these dudes.
Yeah.
For the red team, and I got an argument for the Bucks. So, dang, who do I bet for?
Exactly.
I don't got no dog in a race.
Exactly. I'm in that same boat, man. I'm trying to figure it out.
With that being said, we're going to go to break and I'm going to put you guys on the clock. We will make you have to make your official picks right after this commercial break. We'll be back with more Call to the Booth.
In case you missed it, here's a snippet of the No Fly Zone show that recently aired, man. Check it out.
It was a loss against the Chiefs. Peyton Manning, 5 of 20. And then he went on to miss week 11 to 16. In that game, he was replaced by Brock Osweiler. And Akib also did not play in week 10.
I was in the
Chris, do you remember why Akib didn't play in week 10?
Damn, I really can't remember, bro.
Can anybody else outside of Akib remember why? That was so week 9.
Don't tell them week 9. If you tell them week 9, they going to know. So they just got to
okay.
Why wasn't we was playing the Chiefs week 10? I ain't play. Why wasn't I playing?
It wasn't Tennessee. Was it Tennessee? Now we
played. It wasn't the chain then.
It wasn't never get suspended. Well, I got no. The chain was the next year.
Yeah, that was the next year. Tennessee stuff.
Oh, you poked Buddy in the eye from the
coach. There you go.
I forgot all about that.
Dwayne, what's his name? Dwayne Allen.
Hey, Dwayne Allen people's elbow after.
Hey, he's Dwayne Allen still owed me $370,000 for that game, bro. He made me miss a whole game check, bro. He owe that. When I see him, I need that.
Now back to the show.
We're back with more Call to the Booth. Harrison Sanford, Aqib Talib, Hall of Famer Rod Woodson. It's been a fun episode so far. And as Aqib alluded to, Super Bowls are a little bit more fun when you got some chips on the line. So there's some prop bets that we are going to go through, but we're going to get to some more funny ones first as well, such as heads or tails. Who you got, Rod? What do you always pick if you were making a selection?
Tails never fail.
Tails never fails. I'm going with heads is what I said.
There you go. If you are, let's say you're the, if you had the choice, do you want to receive first in this game or do you want to kick off first? Both of you guys.
Go ahead, Rob.
I want to kick off. I want to get the ball up in the second half.
Definitely. I'm the same. I want to kick off and receive that second half for sure.
Do you guys remember the color of the Gatorade when you won?
Oh, heck, man. Normally we tried yellow stuff.
I think ours was light blue. I was a little part of it, the distraction, you know what I'm saying? So if I can remember clearly, I think it was light blue. It was light blue Gatorade.
Got a color choice for this one. Orange, clear, red, purple, blue. Again, these are the funnier ones.
I'm gonna say blue. Red.
Okay. And then finally, this is the last of the obscure props. The national anthem. Over under 2 minutes.
Who's singing?
And if you have a story, and if you have a story behind your national anthem or halftime performance experience, that'd be great as well. National anthem over under 2 minutes.
It's a two-person national anthem. Yeah, it's a two-person national anthem. It's Jasmine Sullivan and Eric Church.
Jasmine Sullivan? Oh, she gonna blow now. Over 2 minutes. She gonna put the extras
I say over 2 minutes.
Before we get into more hardcore football things, do you guys remember being in the locker room during the halftime performance? Did you ever want to look at it? Did you ever go back and look at the halftime performance? Because
no.
Nothing.
Heck no. It was too long. I was like, let's go play ball.
Right. That Super Bowl halftime I'm getting cold. Like 30 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Super long. But we did have Super Bowl 50. We did have Beyonce, I think. I think we did have Beyonce, so I made sure I checked it out on the replays, though.
There you go. All right, let's get into some real stuff now. All right, game picks. Chiefs are -3 with an over-under of 56.5. Rob, you want to go first and then keep back it up?
Man, you know what? I'm going to take the Chiefs. I am. I'm going to take the Chiefs. You said -3, over-under 56.
And a half.
Yeah, I like all that because I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think both these offenses are going to play some good football. I think they're going to be scoring some points. And we always know the Chiefs are going to go on a 3-possession stretch where they score touchdowns anyway. So I like the Chiefs.
Yeah, it's 56. 56 and a half, you say, Harrison?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go under. I like it to be close. Like a 24-21 late fourth, and then the Chiefs just dagger them with that late tub 31-21. I like it that it be really a close game, but the score don't look like it was a close game because it was a late dagger, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna go under, you know what I'm saying, right around 52-54 or something like that. But I'm definitely around with the Chiefs -3, 3.5. So they gotta win by 4. I'd like them to win by like 10.
Okay, so Keith, that makes me feel as if you might be choosing the under on Patrick Mahomes' passing yards, 325.5.
Yeah, he's gonna be a little bit under that. It's gonna be like 280, 290. It's gonna be close to 300 though, because the Bucs gonna stop that run. So I'm gonna go under on the passing yards for Mahomes.
Rod,
yeah, that's a good one, 325. Because I'm thinking they're going to get up, try to run the ball a little bit, but Andy's still throw happy, you know. And then my thing, if Ty Bowles play man-to-man, listen, number 10 going to find number 35 for the Bucs. He's going to find Dean. And I like Dean as a player, but when you got a tall player versus a small player who can run, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to get over 325.
All right, well, that brings me to Tyreek Hill. We saw what he did to Carlton Davis in that first matchup. had 203 receiving yards in that first quarter in their earlier matchup this season where the Chiefs did win. His over-under for this game is at 95.5. Right, I'll let you start. Over-under, 95.5 receiving yards for Tyreek Hill.
Oh, I'm going over. Because he's going to have one 60-yarder. So I'm thinking he's going to have – he'll get a couple more to get over 95. So I'm going over 95.
I agree. I'm rocking with Rod. I'm going over 95. He's gonna be at about 110. Two tugs.
Okay.
They so play now too much man. Bucks play too much man for him not to have over 100.
All right, let's jump over to Tom Brady now. His over under for passing yards is 295.5. Keith, what you got?
Over. I think it's gonna be a lot of passing going on. Like Rod said, I like the Chiefs to hop out in front early, put a little pressure on him, make him throw the rock around. And I like them to be coming from behind at the end while the Chiefs playing there, you know, we going to make you take 6 minutes to score defense. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to be giving up a lot of underneath stuff. So I like Tom to be in them 300s.
Yeah, I'm over the 295. I'm over that. I think he'll get some of that, those late yards, you know, down the backstretch, and he'll get over three.
Mike Evans, 63.5 receiving yards. Rod?
Oh, snap. What? That's disrespectful.
Disrespectful. You know
what? I say he's going to get over. I know they're going to challenge him, but, you know, I think, you know, Tom will hit some back shoulders. He's going to hit him in the red zone a couple of times. I believe he's going to be closer to 90 yards receiving yards, so I'll give over.
I agree with Rod. I'm going to go over for Mike. The Chiefs play their handful of man too. Spag like the blitz, play that man. And you could match up. I said they match up good with him, but you can't stop Mike. You ain't gonna stop him. So he gonna do his numbers too.
Akeem, you talked about Tyrann Mathieu potentially checking Rob Gronkowski. Rob Gronkowski, some might see this as disrespectful too. 29.5 receiving yards.
Oh man, 29 and chip. They got a screen for show and about two good play actions set up for Gronk, and they got some red zone action, but he gonna get 29 on one play, man. He'll have a 30-yard play himself, a pass. So I'm for sure going over. That's majorly disrespectful to my dog Gronk.
That is 29.5. Yeah, you're right, because they've been hitting Gronk with some screens. Mm-hmm. They've had like one every other game. You know, they're going to look for him in the red zone. They always throw those little, you know, number two fades, you know, fadeaways from the number two spot. They're going to have one of them backers on him. He's going to back shoulder that. So, yeah, I believe he's going to be over way over 29.
Yeah. Disrespectful, man.
All right, let's go to one more. For sure. Let's go to one more prop bet, and then we'll get up out of here. All right, Travis Kelce. This one may be a little bit more respectful to you guys. Rob, you get to kick us off for this one. 94.5 receiving yards, Travis Kelce.
Man, Travis Kelce is a real deal now. This dude can play. Now, you know, they got some good safeties. They got some good backers you can run. But one of their Achilles heels is covering the tight ends when they're in the flex positions. I like Travis Kelce. So I think he's going to be over. I think he's going to ball out again like he's been doing this whole postseason.
I like Kelce to go over. He the matchup nightmare, man. You can't play Tyreek Hill, man. But if you do play a man, you can lean that safety over there and help him, right? You're not going to lean. If you play man, you're not going to lean the safety to Kelce. You know what I'm saying? Just because that ain't how you do it. You lean the safety to the speed. You know what I'm saying? Or you keep him in the post. So if you play man, Kelce going to go crazy. If you play zone, Pat Mahomes going to throw it to him every play. So for sure, over 90.
All right. And then before we get out of here, two more quick questions. And these are not props. Rod, can you name somebody who we haven't named before that's going to be an X factor to this game? And Akeem, if you could follow up.
For either team.
For either team, somebody who's going to either make a play or is going to do something that's going to change the whole landscape of the game that people will be talking about for the rest of the year.
I think it's going to be Hardman. I mean, he can do it. He can do it on special teams. You know, he can do some of those reverses. They do those speed sweeps. Obviously, he's a receiver, so he can go down the field. So I think he's going to be one of those guys that makes one of those key plays for him to get them over the top.
I'm gonna go with this. I really hope this don't happen because this probably gonna mean I lose my bet, right? But I'm gonna go with them backs, man. Fournette and Jones for the Bucks. Cause if they get the toting that rock on the Chiefs, it's gonna get ugly. You know what I'm saying? And play actions, all that stuff, that middle gonna be open. So I'm gonna go with them backs for the Bucks, man. If they could potentially be the X factors in this game.
Well, let's go to that prop bet then real quick, Akeem. 48 and a half rushing yards for Leonard Fournette.
Over.
Rod?
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be over because Kansas City doesn't have a stout run defense. They have been vulnerable at that time,
right,
at times throughout this year. So I say over the 48.
Right. See, Kansas City Chiefs defense in general, they bend, but they don't break. They give up yards. They do all that. But when they need them stops, when they got to have them stops, they always make them stops. But them boys could have 100 yards apiece before they have to make them stops. You know what I'm saying? That could be an overtime or something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm definitely riding with that over.
Rod referenced earlier in the show that when he watches the game, sometimes he'll pause it and say, this DB could have made this play, this DB could have made that play, things of that nature. So before we get out of here, it made me think, Akeem, is there a pick six, and now that we have Rod here, is there a pick six that you wish you had?
It is.
Is there one that still kills you?
Oh, my God, it is. It was 2010. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was week 10. Let me see. I came in 08, 09, 10. It was week 10 in 2010. We was playing the Falcons. We had on our creamsicle throwback jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Matt Ryan threw a stop route or a hitch or something to Roddy White. I broke on that shit. Hit me in the chest. Boom. It easily was touchdown number 2 at the time, and it was interception number 7 on the season, right? So I'm finna be at 7 picks, 2 touchdowns, finishing week 10 game, right? I'm in my all-pro shit right now. I dropped that shit, boom. Next series, chasing down the fucking run play, Rod, told my hip flexor, out for the season. So I finished the season with 6 picks. Snap. 1 tub. I should have finished it with 7 picks, 2 tubs, but I always said if I would have got that pick to the crib, I would not have been running down that fucking run play. I would have been chilling. I'd have been in cruise control mode for the game. You know what I'm saying? So shit rolled downhill, man. It got all bad, but that's for sure, my one pick. I definitely know it was one of the easiest touchdowns, easiest catches of my career.
So Rod, there's this like tradition that the famous Miami Dolphins do. Every time an undefeated team gets their loss during the regular season, it keeps them as the one regular season team, and guys pop champagne and things that however they want to celebrate. So when you heard Akeem Tlaib, who's on your ass for that 6 record, decided to retire, what'd you do?
I was like, "Shoo!" I don't celebrate. I don't really celebrate because, you know, I love to see my brothers break the record. But I was like, in the back of my mind, I knew Tlaib, he can take that thing to the house every time he gets him a pick. So when I saw him retire, when it came across the ticker, I was like, man, I'm sorry to see that he's retiring. Secondly, I was like, shoot, I still got my record though.
Who next? Like, who the next closest guy? Hey, but you know who you gotta look out for though, Rod. Real shit. MP, my dog Marcus Peters. Hey,
oh, he no, yeah, shit. Yeah.
He on some shit. He had like 5, and he in like year 5. I'm like, yeah.
He's got 6. You do it.
He got 6. Yeah. Look, he had 6, and he finna play year 6 next year, I believe. You know what I'm saying? Or he just finished year 6, one or the other.
This was year 6, yeah.
Okay, he just finished year 6, and he had year 6. I'm like, look, He like us, Rod. He built like us. You know, he don't give a fuck. He gonna trigger, boom. And when he get it, it's straight. He like me. Every time in practice, every time we get a pick in practice, we go to the crib, we practice that shit. So
that's right.
He like that, man. He got me nervous.
I like Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters from Oakland, man. So I've been watching Marcus since he's been in high school. So, you know, he's probably the only guy in the league that can get to that point.
He the only one. And then, you know, Jink up there too on the low. On the low, Jink up there. Janora, he up there.
Jack Rabbit up there.
Jack Rabbit up there too. He up there with eight. But he a little older though, you know what I'm saying? His window closed in a little bit.
But he puts his foot in the ground.
Put his foot in the ground and he go get that thing too though, like a mud. So them two guys right there, man. I'm telling you. MP a lot younger. That's why he making me nervous. He ain't even figured it out. He can get there.
He can get there.
Akeem, before you take us home, you guys, can you make your picks? Player most likely to get a pick six in the Super Bowl. We've seen Tampa Bay make plays over the last 2 weeks, and obviously the Kansas City Chiefs can as well. Tyrann Mathieu makes plays all the time. Player most likely to get a pick six in the Super Bowl, then Akeem, take us home, please.
Go ahead, Rod.
For me, I'm going to go with, because they play man, and they played some of that cover too. So I'm going to go with Carlton Davis getting a tip off the cover two in the flat. Ain't nobody going to be in front of him. And he can get that pick six.
I love Carlton Davis, man. Speaking of you, Harrison, them already know. I've been on him all year. Like, he one of them guys, man. He got that heart that it takes to be one of the top five corners in the league. He got that. You know what I'm saying? He got that. So I'm going to go with pick six. I feel like Mahomes going to tackle somebody if they get a pick six. But I don't know if Tommy going to tackle somebody. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to go Breeland, man. Breeland recently switched his swag up, man. If you put a picture of Breeland up and you put a picture of Leib up, man, his uniform swag is similar to Leib, you know what I'm saying, with the white tights. He switched around because, you know, you had a team color. You had white at the bottom, right? I always switched it around on their ass. I had white at the top, team color at the bottom. And the uniform dudes, they never know this shit, right? They just see, like, okay, he got his white showing. I switch it around on their ass. So look, Breeland done switched it around. He done had the lead swag going. So I'm rocking with Breeland, man. He gonna get a pick to the crib. Straight off the lead swag, baby. Let's go, Breeland. Let's go, 21.
Take us home, Akeem.
Hey, Rod, I appreciate you, man. You already know. So much respect for you, man. Anytime I can get on the damn FaceTime, Zoom, and chop it up with you, man, that's always an honor. I always looked up to you growing up, man, playing this game. So I appreciate you coming on, man. And
Appreciate it, brother.
You already know. Hopefully we can get you back on again this offseason, talk some DBs in the draft or something like that, man. But definitely appreciate you.
Hit me up, man. Anytime I do anything for you, brother.
You already know. So call to the booth. That's our Super Bowl show. Y'all subscribe, rate, and review, man. Check us out.